All right, I want to encourage you, if you've got a Bible today, to go ahead and find your way to the Old Testament book of Malachi. Now, if you don't know where Malachi is in your Bible, if you have a printed Bible, you can always just go to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, and just turn back one book, and you're in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Now, you may be wondering, why are we looking at the book of Malachi today? Well, we're joining with Christians around our community. We're joining with Christians around the world who celebrate this season called Advent, this time of getting ready for the coming of Jesus, the coming of Christmas. And there are scriptures that have been read for centuries by Christians just to get ready for this, and we're reading the ones from the Old Testament. And so we're going to be in the book of Malachi this morning, Malachi chapter 3. You also notice that this series has a very strong Star Wars kind of emphasis to it, kind of a theme. And I showed you the comic last week. I'm not going to show it to you again, but if you're here, you saw the comic where the guy's writing on the calendar and his wife walks up to him and is like, "Hey, are you counting the days till Christmas?" And he said, "No, Star Wars." And so some of you are marking December 17th, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, right? Well, that's a great title. In fact, I want to steal that title today because the idea of something awakening, something that's sleeping or slumbering, awakening, is actually one of the terms that's used to describe a spiritual awakening. In fact, I don't know if you remember in history classes in school, I certainly remember in college history classes learning that American history is marked by the periods of spiritual awakening. Do you remember this? There are three great awakenings in American history. In fact, historians can go back and they can date the exact moment those events started and how they transformed this nation today. This entire nation has been transformed by spiritual awakenings known as the Great Awakening. And it's one of my prayers, and I hope it's your prayer, that God will bring a great awakening to the United States of America. That God will bring another great awakening to his world today. Now, in keeping with the Star Wars theme, I thought I would share with you a few thoughts about it. You know, some people say, what are the chances of that? Not, you know, is it just... What caused that? Is it just sort of a lucky thing? And here's Obi-Wan Kenobi. In my experience, there's no such thing as luck, right? What caused the Great Awakening? Well, historians who've studied it have found out that the Great Awakening didn't start by some national movement. It actually started personally and individually. They can actually date it to an individual sermon, like the sermon of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, or George Whitefield, or Dwight Moody, to a single congregation, to a single group of people whose heart just became inflamed for God and said, "God, we're going to do what you want us to do." And they got excited, and what happened there spread from an individual personal revival to a corporate and to a national revival. Now, what are the chances of that? Well, everybody remembers what Han Solo said, "Never tell me the odds," right? Never tell me that. You're supposed to be laughing. You know, this is really funny, you know? I'm using these cool Star Wars quotes. You know how long it took me to find these things, you know? So what would it take to bring spiritual revival? Well, this is the heartbeat of Malachi. Malachi is like a fiery, hellfire and brimstone preacher. And he comes to his people, to God's people, in an event that happened after where we were last week. Last week we were talking about Jeremiah predicting the fall of Israel. Well, Israel fell, and the people went away into captivity, and they lost their city, and they lost their temple, and they lost their king. And 70 years later, they were allowed to return to rebuild their temple, to rebuild their walls, to rebuild their city, except for they didn't do it. It left in ruins for years, and when they finally did do it, it wasn't in very good shape. And God was looking at the condition of his temple, at the condition of his people, and he sent a messenger. The word Malachi means my messenger. And what Malachi did is he sort of looked around and he says, "Okay, guys, you've rebuilt your homes, you've rebuilt your fortunes, you've rebuilt your farms, but you've not built God's house. It's forsaken and it's forgotten." And Malachi is that preacher, that revival preacher that will call the nation and God's people back to God. His whole message is, this is what God has to say to you. Now, if you could boil it down into a single Star Wars quote, it would be Darth Vader who said, "I find your lack of faith disturbing." I mean, that's really God's message in the book of Malachi. I mean, you're my people. I've called you. I've saved you. I've rescued you. I've redeemed you. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Babylon. I've defeated every enemy. I'm your God. And I find your lack of faith this morning disturbing, right? So let's look and see what Malachi says in this famous Advent passage. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. God says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Recognize that? Right in the Gospels, the beginning of the Gospels, the message of John the Baptist before Jesus. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then, suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can endure his advent? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner, a purifier of silver, and he will purify the Levites, which is a tribe of Israel that was in charge of the temple. And he will refine them like gold and silver, and then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former days. God says this morning three things. Number one, God says, listen up. Listen up. That's what he was saying in Malachi's day. I think in some sense that's what he's saying to us today. And as this whole book, and this week I've just been studying the whole book of Malachi, and I realized, you know, I can't tell you just one little part of it. I kind of have to kind of give you the whole message. So if I could just boil down the whole book of Malachi, I would say that it is God asking three questions of us today. Question number one, am I really a priority to you? You know, that's what God's asking in the book of Malachi. Am I really a priority? Everybody knows what a priority is. It's what's most important in your life, what you do first, what you do prior to everything else. All right, here's a couple of Star Wars quotes, all right? Qui-Gon Jinn, what a strange name, says, your focus determines your reality. A lot of truth to that. In the earlier Star Wars movies, in my opinion, the better ones, Gold 5 says, stay on target. What is your target? What is your focus in your life? And does that target, does that focus in your life reflect and show your priority? And then, in God asking you the question today, am I really a priority to you? How does that look? Now, Malachi knew how it looked, because he lived in those days, and he could see the condition of God's people. And in the whole book of Malachi, he sort of lays it out. And at the beginning of the book, he points out a specific area that was showing their lack of priority. It was the fact that this people that God had just saved and rescued, they were making commitments to God. They were saying, okay, God, we're going to bring you our best offering. But when it came time to give them an offering, they would bring an injured animal. A diseased animal. Look at what Malachi 1:13 through 14 says. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? And I just love this statement by God. For I am a great king, says Yahweh Almighty, El Shaddai. My name is to be feared among the nations. In other words, God's like, hey, I'm supposed to be the king of this nation, and nations around us are supposed to go, wow, your God is awesome, but what they're seeing is something totally different than that. They're not really impressed by that. Am I your priority, God says. Number two, God's asking this question, are you really committed to me? Are you really committed to me? All right, here's a longer Star Wars story, okay? Some of you have seen the Star Wars movie, some of you like it, some of you hate it, some of you have never seen it, whatever, but everyone knows this scene in Star Wars. It's when Luke Skywalker is being trained by a guy named Yoda. And Yoda is going to ask him this question. He's trying to use the Force, which of course is not a Christian thing, you need to know that. Somebody's going to come out here and say, Pastor, you know, he's teaching him the Force, and Luke Skywalker's trying to use the Force to do something, and he can't do it. He's like, I'm trying.
And Yoda looks at him and he says the most famous line probably in the Star Wars movie, do or do not, there is no try. It's a question of commitment. In a way, that's sort of what God is asking his people in this book of Malachi. Either do it or don't. Either commit or don't. Either get in or get out. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13, listen to what he says. God's just kind of going through a list of things. Another thing you do. It sounds like my wife talking to me. No, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. Just kidding, just kidding. Now she's over there saying amen, yeah. Yeah, she is right there. Another thing you do, right? Another thing you do. So this is God talking to his people. He says, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. This is a pretty relevant moment, right? In other words, you go to church and you just cry your eyes out. You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask why. And this is what he says. It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You've been unfaithful to her, though she's your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Now you're reading that in Malachi and you think, is he talking about like adultery or something? And the answer is no. He's using that as an analogy. And he's saying, Israel, we're married. You're my people. We're committed to each other. And you're running around on me. You're not committed to me. So one of the questions of this book is, are you really committed to God? Are you really committed to him? And then there's a third, another hard, hard question the book of Malachi asks. And that is, are you stealing from me? Now, probably Malachi is most well known for this quote. Preachers around the world have quoted this one. You ask, how are we to return to you? How are we to get right with you? And so God asks a question. Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? And you ask, how are we robbing you? And God says to his people Israel, in tithes, which is to give a 10% or so of what they had made, and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That Greek word is thesaurus. It's the word Jesus used when he says, seek first, when he says, put things into the storehouse of heaven. The thesaurus is like a storage box, a treasure box. Store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. He says here, bring the whole tithe into the thesaurus, into the storehouse, into the treasure box, that there may be food in my house. So these are the questions God is asking his people. These questions are basically questions that say, listen up. But number two, God says to his people, look up. Look up and see what your sins are doing. You know, one of the things that kind of bugs me, and I'm sure it bugs you, is that other people make choices that affect us, right? I mean, somebody goes to the store and they steal something, and the price of the products go up. They put those little weird security things on, and when you go out the door, or you buy a shirt and you have that thing still stuck on it. Some of you are probably wearing one of those around right now, aren't you? Just look around and see if somebody's got one of those on. What is our sin costing other people? This is one of the things Malachi is saying to his people. See what your sins are doing, and in three different areas. See what your sins are doing to each other. See what your sins are doing to each other. When you read through Malachi, you're kind of like amazed that this book is about God's people because it talks about how they're unjust, how they're committing perjury, how they're wage gouging, how they're neglecting the needs of the widows and the orphans, how they're abusing foreigners. I mean, it just goes to this long list of all these things. See what your sins are doing to each other. Number two, see what your sins are doing to your worship. You know, it's interesting because the whole book of Malachi, in fact, all the latter prophets, you know, if you'd have gone to Israel in those days, attendance was at an all-time low, right? But if you'd have asked the Israelites, like, who's your God? They'd have said, oh, God's our God. But the reality is that their worship was being impacted. They had actually replaced God with a capital G with some other God with a lowercase g. In the Bible, it's called idolatry. See what your sins are doing to each other. See what your sins are doing to your worship. And then number three, see what your sins are doing to your heart. You could say that the whole Bible, in one sense, is all about apathy. It's all about indifference. One of the greatest conditions, one of the worst conditions of human nature, is not that we sin. It is that we stop caring. One of the worst things is when we're just like, you know what, who cares? Who cares about God? Who cares about the message of the gospel? Who cares about people knowing about this message of Jesus? Who cares about Christianity? Who cares about what? Who cares? And they just sort of let it all fall by the wayside. And God's saying, look up. Look up, America. Look up, world. See what your sins are doing to each other. I mean, have you read the newspaper? Have you watched the news? It's not pretty. See what your sins are doing. See what your worship looks like. See what your heart looks like. God says, listen up. God says, look up. But then finally, God says, wake up. This is a sermon about the Great Awakening. To be awakened means you got to be sleeping and slumbering. And God is saying to our people today, his people, wake up, wake up. Now, this whole book of Malachi is good news and bad news, right? First of all, the good news, which is hard to imagine that a book like this has any good news in it. But the good news is God will save his people. There was a scene, once again, Star Wars, in one of the early movies where Princess Leia, and some of the other characters are stuck in one of those, you know, really bad situations. I think the walls are kind of like closing in around them or whatever. And Princess Leia says, this is what she says, somebody has to save our skins. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's a very apt description of our world today. The walls are sort of closing in around us. Somebody has got to save us. Well, the Bible tells us this great message of Christmas is that God has done something to save us. And in fact, here in the book of Malachi, hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, he talked about how God would write our name in a book. Malachi 3:16, a scroll of remembrance or a book of remembrance was written in the presence, in his presence, concerning those who feared the Lord and who honored his name. And on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possessions. I will spare them or I will save them, just as a father has compassion and spares the son who serves him. That's great news today. The good news is God will save, but the bad news is the same God who will spare and save will also judge. Now, one way you could look at this book of Malachi is to say that God's sort of saying to his people what my dad used to say to me. We were in the back seat of the car and we were getting in trouble. He would say, don't make me stop this car. Don't make me turn around, right? So God's sort of saying something like that. He's saying this, don't make me come down there. Really, Malachi chapter 3. Don't make me come down there. Get it right. Don't make me come down there. Look what Malachi chapter 4 says. I mean, you talk about hellfire and brimstone in the Old Testament. This gets pretty close. Malachi chapter 4 verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. Wake up. So how do you respond to a message like that? What do you do with this message? Well, this is the ultimate Advent message. You get ready. You get ready. That's what you do. When God sends his messenger, when God sends his message, you get ready. Now, I've seen some of the Star Wars movies, and I really do like a lot of them. I haven't seen any of the cartoons, and my kids love those. Maybe some of you have. But there is a character in one of the cartoons named Ahsoka Tano, and she says this, this is a new day, a new beginning. And I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't know what moments have led you to be here today. But you know, today could be a new day. It could be a new beginning. This season may be the season for you to sort of get your life right with God. I want to explain to you how you can do that according to this book of Malachi. Three things. Number one, get right with God personally. Get right with God personally. Malachi says that God will, in these last days, call his people back to him. He'll call them back. Repentance, turning back to God. Turning back to him. Get right with God personally. He talks about how he'll wash us like launderer soap, and he will smelt us. Now, that word means not to smell, but to put into a fire. In fact, we know that for thousands of years, people have been smelting. The ancient people, here's a drawing, you can't see it super well, but this is a kind of one of those like sort of cave drawings or Egyptian drawings of the smelting process. Trust me, it's there, you can Google it. But for thousands of years, they knew this process. And what they would do is they would mine lead ore, and then they would put it into one of these things where they could billow the hot, you know, coals around it, and they would wrap it with either clay or they would wrap it with ash, and it would get it so hot that the lead would melt out and it would absorb into the ash, and the only thing left would be like this little slither of silver left. Everything else would be absorbed, and the only thing left that would endure the fire was the thing that would last, the thing that you wanted. This is this image that God's saying, look, I want to purify your life. I want to get your life right. I want to burn up the dross. I want to burn up the bad stuff. It's time to get right. It's time to get right with God in our prayer life. It's time to get God right in our worship life. It's time to get God right with all aspects of our life. Get right with God personally. Number two, build up God's house corporately. The book of Malachi is like a great book for the church because it's all about building up God's house. It's all about building up God's house. You know, God has not called us as Christians to live solo Christian lives. He called us to live in community. The church is a community of people, sometimes called the corporate body. But in Malachi's day, they were slow to build God's house, but fast to fatten their own. They were content to see the temple in ruins as long as they were okay. The spiritual condition had not changed. Lethargy, apathy, they had forgotten and forsaken God and what he had called them to do and be, to be a light to the world. And the prophet said, this is what we need. We need an awakening. We need a spiritual revival for God to stir our hearts. You know, I think one of the things God wants all Christians to do is to be active members of a body, a local church. Join a church. Be involved in a church. Build it up spiritually. Pray for it. Be involved in it. Encourage it as well as physically. You know, in the coming days, we're going to, hopefully, God willing, we're going to build a whole new building, a whole new campus. I mean, would that God would make that into something that would, where hundreds of new people who don't even know about what God's doing in this community, in this county, would stream in and learn about God. Wouldn't that be awesome? So the third thing to get ready is to magnify God's glory globally. All through the Bible, God is concerned about his name. He's concerned about his reputation in the world. And today, quite frankly, God's reputation in the world has a black eye. And it reflects us. Because a lot of us as Christians, you know, we're just not where we need to be. People are going, well, that's what Christians are like? That's what Christianity is like? What we need to do is we need to magnify and glorify the name of God by us getting right with God. So that people will find him and discover him and return to him so that we can do our task that he's given to us in this generation, to be a light to the world.